You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas for your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. We got a nice little short episode here as we continue our little break from recording hockey. Of course, we made it through the entire offseason. Still pretty much recording every week a new episode, but we couldn't make it even halfway through the regular season before needing a break. Here we are to talk. We'll talk 2022 and some 2023 free agents. Now, Mike, I introduced this as a shorty of an episode. One, because it's 11 o'clock at night when we're recording this. Two, we're not looking to build a whole new team through free agency. And you and I have some pretty basic rules on how to handle free agency. And I'm going to speak for you only because I know we've talked about this in the past. If you want to put some asterisks on there when I'm done, feel free. But, Mike, pretty much we want to spend money on the best of the best in free agency. And we're not really here I don't want to talk about going in the middle of the pack and having to overspend. And we can have those conversations about some of those guys today. And will it end up being an overspend? Because you don't want to just fill a hole with a guy who's in the middle and ends up being an overspend because he's a top free agent available. Like, do you just move on? It's part of the conversation today. Or are they just so good you could pay them for the 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years that they might want, and it won't hurt as bad because they're going to produce. So I guess with that, Mike, I don't know if you want to take it away on your own opinions on what I just said, or
there's a consensus. We don't need to be pragmatic. We don't need to find the guys on the peripheral, those guys on the edge, to fill out a third and a fourth line. We have an abundance of third and fourth liners. So, Matt, the whole point of this exercise is to fill up that second line, or God forbid, get somebody so good they're on the first line, and we find a way, not that I want to particularly, but my God, what if we found a way to move Bertuzzi or Larkin down to the second line? Woo! And with that, I've already assumed that Lucas Raymond will be our first line wing for many years to come.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I liked your criteria here. You had a couple questions for some guys that we wanted to look at. Are they going to be, looks like, a good fit for us? Is the Yzerman influence, how does that factor into this person potentially wanting to be, a Detroit Red Wing? Have they already won a cup? And then are they prioritizing, the financial end of a free agency deal, or, trying to latch onto a, contender team, get that Lord Stanley, in their resume? And then what kind of loyalty these players, what can we expect from them? So is this such a far-fetched idea that, are they going to just want to stick with the team that's, that they're already used to, which seems to kill a lot of NHL free agency, because a lot of those guys just like signing, mortgages with mortgage deals with the teams that drafted them. And then I guess using that money to start a home mortgage, in the area. I like these questions a lot, Matt. I guess one dude I did kind of want to start with, and it's easily, we've talked about it many times this season, is the bigger priority defense or a center? And, the Red Wings have had a few adventures defensively this season, but I do feel like, and I think you would agree, that we have more high-end defensive prospects waiting in the wings, growing, than we do upper echelon centers. So that's why I would probably prioritize getting a center in free agency, because it doesn't quite seem like we have that, top six guy. At least they haven't shown the numbers yet. We don't have that top six guy in the minors. So Matt, I liked a couple of guys you put together, but I think Tomas Hertl here. We'd be pillaging from the Sharks, their centerman. He'd be 28 here coming into free agency. And
I answered one of his questions incorrectly now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah, he has not won a cup. No cups for him.
No, I didn't put yes or no. I put cup. I copy and pasted the first half of. So basically what Mike and I are looking at is it's a table inside of a Word document. And we have all these questions that Mike just went over, and they're yes or no questions. And for Hertl, I wrote cup as for the answer for yes or no. So I guess that could be interpreted that he has one, but clearly he doesn't. So we'll fix that up to be in a no. But yeah, Mike, I know why you're picking him first, because when you go through this list, we are talking about like the best of the best. When I started putting this list together, so you're right to start the conversation here, because you're still talking about a guy that's you could make the argument maybe right at his prime. At the time of free agency, or like just barely far enough over it, it won't make too big a difference. And when you end up doing the overpay in free agency, you just have to hope that the term isn't so long that you're going to go 5 or 6 years into his post-prime career. So Hertl, 28, center. I mean, it probably would have been a good idea as I ramble through all this stuff. I'm going to have something to kind of measure these guys. So why not bring up the old Jay Fresh? And it's at least fair to say we do this all the time. So it's not something where we aren't always trying to measure guys with these analytical numbers. And Jay Fresh has Hertl at a 95%, Mike, of all centers. For anybody on the, talk about a guy with first line center, who's first line center material for his time on ice. But yeah, basically saying that he's in the top 95% by Jay Fresh's measurement means that there's only another 5% of hockey players in Hertl's situation that play better. So that's not bad, Mike. That's pretty damn good.
So yeah, I feel like if you're going to throw a bag at somebody, I think this is probably the best start based on some of the other centers that are going to be available this coming offseason. And a couple of the other ones, obviously, are, we'll probably give them a passing mention in this episode, but they're up in age where with Hertl, if you throw a bag at him, you're still going to get some prime years out of him because of where he's at.
Two or three. And that's something, too, that I think people need to come to terms with. If this team's going to compete, like a solid compete level for a few years, you're going to have an ugly contract 3 years after that. Somebody's going to be overpaid for a while. But you just got to eat up those 3 years where it does feel really good. But I think, yeah, Hertl, you'll get 2 to 3 great years, and then it'll slowly come down. And if you're really lucky, it never happens. And you nailed it. And I think Hertl is one of those candidates where he plays the type of game where you're not really worried. It's not to the point where if Connor McDavid ever gets hurt and you have to worry about what he's going to look like without that speed. Clearly, he has stick handling skills, but what happens when you subtract one of those things from his game? I think Hertl has a well-rounded game where you could still find success for Hertl for quite a while. So I Mike, you nailed it by making this the first point of conversation. I don't know. The other names we could throw out here, and basically I came up with reasons as to why it's not going to happen. So we'll go back to the top of this list here, Mike. We'll start with Patrice Bergeron. And the reason it's, to me, not going to happen is that when we ask all these questions, short-term, good fit, Yzerman influence, has a cup or money, is he loyal? Loyalty seems to be the big issue with Patrice Bergeron. He's got his cups. Cup, I think there obviously there'd be a fun fit there. And when you talk about guys past their prime, I mean, you're talking about a 36-year-old center. But I think, yeah, the main issue here is going to be if he knows he's going to get money from someone, he's probably going to take it from Boston, who's still competing at a very high level right now. I don't see any reason for him to move. And then as you continue down the list here, Mike, that I created, I put Johnny Gaudreau on there. Johnny Hockey, why not? Let's have some fun on the left wing. Is there a good fit? Mike, there's a good fit for anybody on this team. You could fit for these elites of elites. Yes, the Red Wings will take more elite wingers, centers, defensemen all day long. I think he could be influenced by the Iser plan, but I think it's the cup that gets in the way here. And especially with how well Calgary's playing right now, I think this loyalty answer might get changed, but I know they've been trying to move Johnny for quite a while. So I'm not going to put that as a yes. I'll keep loyalty as a no, but I think because Johnny is going to be looking for a cup now and he's at 28, which again is at that point statistically where you're supposed to drop off. I would say he's going to get it sooner rather than later. And the Red Wings don't cross that box yet. And then we'll go through this one real quick, Mike, but Evgeny Malkin has the cups. I think if anybody's going to make a pit stop, go ahead.
Yeah. That one, I know exactly where you're going to go with that. It seems like the likelihood of him coming here is pretty low, but if he's going to abandon ship, I don't know if this is a guy who's, you know, going to want to go play in Carolina or Florida. I feel like he'd still want to be in the Midwest. And I feel like he would want something maybe, you know, a little more short term. And maybe that's where that Iser plan comes in. Because I got to think that Iserman's name is, you know, starting to circulate in locker rooms. Like, damn, this guy's, you know, he knows how to take care of people. So, I mean, if Iserman was going to overpay for Malkin to only play like a year or two in Detroit, just while we wait for some more prospects to kind of pan out, I don't think this one's as far-fetched as you might think. I think it's actually a likelier signing than like Bergeron, for example. Bergeron, I wouldn't bet anything. I the lowest value thing in my room is probably a library book that I bought for a nickel that the library was giving away for free. The money was for the library to support them. And then I got some paper. It's going to be kindling for a book I'm never going to read. That's what I would wager. Bergeron never leaving. But Malkin, I could see it. And I don't think Detroit would be a top choice, but I do think that the Iser plan could be seductive for a guy like this, especially if it's a short-term, you know, 1 to 2 year deal and a big bag of money.
Yeah, and there's probably I put him as a not influenced by the Iser plan because I think there's a good bet to say that Malkin would go to Russia and finish out his career.
Yeah, and it's not to say that I don't think that he cares about winning, but this is a guy who, you know, he's starting to get older. He's starting to get boo-boos, the boo-boos that are keeping him out for a while. But, I mean, the Red Wings have money to spend, and they're like, hey, you could, you know, kind of help teach a thing or two to some of our younger guys, and we're going to pay a lot of money to, you know, be an on-ice, you know, coach and who could still get a point, more than a point per game. We'd be happy to have you for a year or two and give this a shot. So I don't think this one's as far-fetched as some might think.
Yeah, and he's still, like, we pulled up the JFresh stats here. He's still 87% WAR, according to JFresh. So that puts him, again, in the top 87% in the league. So there's only another 13% of guys better than Malkin, statistically. And I just, you know, when you're looking at how this team's built already and you put Malkin in between Zadina and Verana, possibly, for next season, I mean, come on. What more do you have to say?
You talk about unlocking Zadina. He's going to be getting points by default.
I mean, at that point. Malkin. Right. Yeah. At that point, then we go, okay, so it was Zadina.
Fool us once, shame on you. Fool us with Evgeny Malkin, you know, shame on you again. That's on you, Zadina.
Mike, can you believe it? DraftKings is recognizing our favorite sport. We do a podcast about hockey, and we are finally able to discuss the fact that they're an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Let's go, right?
That's what I'm ready to say. Matt, I've had enough talking about the other sports. It's time for a big boy sport. The NHL! That's National Hockey League. That season is underway. DraftKings Sportsbook, an unofficial sports betting partner of the National Hockey League, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. nay, the greatest sport on earth. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper. Oh, gotta be a... Or a slapper, maybe? Or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win.
If sports what if book, it's some nasty sauce? All right, go
what
ahead.
If it's an empty netter? Still counts on the stat sheet, my man. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling promo, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
But yeah, I think the next couple guys here I'm not as excited about because they...
Maybe
they do
maybe
play defense, and I know that we could use some help on the blue line, but Matt, what were some of the names that are coming up this offseason?
Yeah, we've got, and actually I just pulled up the wrong page. You've got John Klingberg, who's 29. Oh, I didn't put the ages down for everybody else, but Hampus Lindholm, Braden McNabb, and Calvin DeHaan. And pretty much what I built here are just your top left side defensemen that have some star status, some, you know, some elite status has been tied to their name at some point. And really, I mean, there's an argument to be made that Klingberg would, you know, be that good fit where you're trying to still find something for that left side to play with Seider. But then as you come down the list, you got to figure Simon Edmundson is either next year or the season after that. So he's going to be filling out a second pairing, and you don't want, like, you still don't want an Edmundson Seider line. You still want to split those guys up. So there's probably another conversation for a right side defenseman, but I'm still giving the nod to Hronek in that regard. So that's where I focused, most of this conversation. Probably the number one guy on the list that I would actually, you know, I would be fine targeting, and I'll bring up,
Yeah,
if I oh my god. Woo! Jay Fresh's thing just blew up on me. But yeah, I do want to bring up Hampus here for us, so everybody can at least get a general idea.
Because Lindholm, you talk about, you know, like if you watch WWE wrestling, like Vince McMahon has a type. He likes guys that are about 6'4", you know, about 245 pounds. So kinda think Randy Orton, kinda think John Cena. And Iserman, much like Vince McMahon, also has a type defensively. And Lindholm definitely fits that profile. 6'4" guy, you know, about 230, you know, skilled, going to be able to, you know, set up plays on the blue line, score. And yeah, there you go, Jay Fresh, 87%. And this, 87th this is... percentile for WAR.
Yeah, and this is a guy who has from the 5-on-5 perspective, he's doing well offensively and defensively. If you guys want to take a peek at that, it is really the only thing that seems to be, I don't know, I guess in the negative here is kind of the production side of things for him. Even though he's getting good offensive like analytics to back up his play. And I just don't care. I mean, Hampus Lindholm is a top target for me. He's a top left side defenseman that really would just, like, this puts us at a whole nother level. And this is somebody that I'd be totally fine overpaying for. And I think it gives you one of the best top pairings in the league if Moritz Seider continues to play how he played in the first 20 games of this season. So the only problem is the Ducks know that, and they're not going to... They're not going to let him sneak away. And that's probably the biggest problem right now is the Ducks are having some success. And that's got to be exciting to at least watch that he's been a part of that build. And why would you want to run away from that right now unless you just thought, like, somebody else is going to have the money to pay me? Because The Ducks are stuck with a Cam Fowler contract that runs until 2025. I'm sorry, 2026. So there's still plenty of room for them to sign Lindholm. They're one of the lowest salaries in the league, so it shouldn't really be a problem. I think at this point it's just Lindholm and his decision. So if the Ducks want to keep him, he'll be there. And if he doesn't want to be there, that's where you cross your fingers and hope we're the kind of team he's looking for. But why would he jump ship for a team he's helped build for another team that is just, oh, okay, I'll get to play with Mo Sider. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's the selling point, but I still think there's enough going on in the Ducks that he could still be excited. So it's almost like he's too good. So certainly I'd love to sign him. But yeah. Why would he, how could we have that opportunity? And then I think we get into the conversation of where these guys are a little middling, and we are going to end up overpaying for somebody that.
That's where I'm looking at McNabb.
That's where you're at?
Yeah, that for me would. That would be an overpay, because I think that he would be looking for a raise in free agency, and he's.
Right. Ready for this one?
Oh, God, what's his war, man? 95,
57%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is where the lines of the 5-on-5 play is absolutely there. He's in the top half of the league, and that's from the perspective of puck control, getting chances on net. But production is really killing this guy, and it's just special teams doesn't do him any favors either. So it's just what he's asked to do from a production standpoint. What you want to see on the box score compared to the analytics is what's killing McNabb. And this would end up being one of those things. I think the name at even at age 30 is probably going to get him a few more bucks than he probably deserves. But not for me. And I'm kind of probably last on that list is McNabb. And then if you want to take a little bit of a step up is Calvin DeHaan. I'm going to pull him up now so we can all take a peek at where he's sitting. But it's just another one of those. I feel like
our prospects are better than the free agents that are out there. Like the ceiling for our prospects is better than what's out there. If you want to make the case for Lindholm, go ahead and do it. But
I'll still say like DeHaan.
A bag of money and what the free agent defensemen are, I would take our prospects.
Wait, so this gives you a better idea of DeHaan's play. At least he's got an 83% war. The price is going to be much higher than McNabb and probably lower than Lindholm. But I think to get the most good hockey out of any of those guys that were on this list of defensemen that'll be available in the upcoming offseason, You have to focus on Lindholm, and Calvin DeHaan is definitely on that list where things are going to drop off fast. So sure, somebody will pay him. They'll probably pay him close to the 4.6 he's collecting right now, maybe even a little bit higher than that because it's the free agent market. And maybe you'll get one or two seasons out of him, and then it'll.
Yeah, his deep cut stuff. Definitely very attractive. You know, he's not really recognized for any kind of, you know, awards or anything like that. So you would be getting kind of a deep cut guy. I just, again, our goal here was to find a top six forward or top pairing defenseman, and DeHaan, I still don't think that this is worth dropping our bag of money. It's not worth it. I'm out.
Like Shark Tank?
I've never watched that program, but oh. I assume if they say I'm out, I am a Shark Tank. Yes.
You are a Shark Tank. Okay, so RFA targets. Mike, I will say there's some guys that are exciting, at least from like a filling out a roster standpoint. Nobody, in my opinion, is at EP40 level. I think you could have fun with Pierre-Luc Dubois. I think you could have fun with Jesse Puljujärvi. I think Matthew Tkachuk is another one, and Andrew Mangiapane, who's having a great start to this season. All fun. But when we talked last year about overpaying to make sure we got Pettersson, and you're giving up four first-round picks You don't have to do that with these guys because the contract I don't think is going to be that high, but you are giving up some draft picks and a lot. I can't say there's a guy on here that I want to have that same game and have, you know, play that same game for an entire off season. Like we did last year. And the problem is, you know, when you start talking about these guys, do you have the same line of analytics to go over? I mean, we can still dissect like the last 3 years, and that's where I kind of took a peek at, you know, Matthew Tkachuk is going to be in the top. What do I want to say here? The top 80% of the league in regards to analytics. At least for this season so far, when you come back to Mangiapane, he's also in that conversation right now. But Calgary's just playing out of their mind right now, so it's always tough to measure so far for just this season. But I'd make a play. I'd have a conversation. I was going to say I'd have a conversation about Pierre-Luc Dubois. I'd have a conversation about Matthew Tkachuk. But I don't know. I mean, do you want to have a conversation about Patrick Laine? I don't know. I don't think I do at this point.
Can you pull up the JFresh for Pavel Zacha?
Whoops. Yep. Still head up. Calvin DeHaan. I'm really focused on Calvin DeHaan right now. Okay. For a guy I don't want. Let me see if he's got something here.
Yeah, just Pavel Zacha on the Devils.
So... not great, Bob. 49% war.
So thank you for the Office Space reference there. But the reason I brought him up is the Devils, it feels like they have dozens of these guys who are like just under 25, 26, on the cusp of maybe they'll pan out, maybe they won't. And Pavel's, like his numbers shouldn't be too bananas because his statistics aren't blowing you out of the water, but you know, you can kind of see the deep cut stuff. What was it?
49%.
So I mean, Matt, if you're looking at him and we know the tiers for signing a restricted free agent, that cutoff limit for, you know, going above a second round pick, like Pavel is absolutely not worth a first and whatever else. At best, probably a third or a second round pick, right?
Yep.
So would you be willing to throw a bag, let's say about $4 million between two and a half, between like 2.1 and 4.1 million, that size bag and a second round pick at the hopes that this guy pans out?
That it just wasn't working out in New Jersey, but it'll start to work out in Detroit? I don't know. I think we'll go back to the conversation about our prospects, which should be the episode that just came out before this. And you see like, Soderblom, like I recorded the Soderblom stuff before his last game where he was an absolute monster for Lunda, putting in a couple of goals, looking like Pavel Datsyuk while he did it. And the whole time he's 6'8", but then you've got the Niederbox, Liam Dower-Nielsen. There's some potential there, and I don't think you need to throw anything away to bring in a guy who's not really showing too much so far, unless you really have a ton of confidence that you can make it work. Where we talk about the difference between him and like the previously mentioned Matthew Tkachuk, you got a 91% WAR for a 23-year-old kid. I just see the difference here of trying to make a fit when we were bringing in EP40 and getting pretty much your first line center, and it would have been for years to come, for us picking up some more wingers. And I might be wrong. Maybe he's a once in a lifetime winger. I just feel like there are more opportunities to pick up some wingers than there would be for you to lock in your first line center. And maybe we look like a couple of boobs with EP40 start, but I think a lot of that has to do with how bad Vancouver is as a whole. But I mean, you make the same conversation about this amazing start for Calgary too. So I'm not saying I hate Matthew Tkachuk. I'm saying I don't want to give up what you need to give up to get a Matthew Tkachuk, because it's a lot of first round picks, but it feels like less first round picks when you're getting your first line center, which is incredibly difficult to lock in.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Making now seven and a half.
Yeah, he's at least Jay Fresh has him listed at seven. So there's your starting point.
Yeah, just right? That so tier. Just agent, that tier, he'd be a first, second, third. So if he wants a bump up, you know, up like $1 million, that's when you're doing two firsts, second, and a third. And I'm not yet, in. Not a, if it's a non-center, I'm not in.
But he'll get more than that. I wonder if do we have the patience to bring up the contract projections here? Just tell me no.
I will look at a Matthew Tkachuk contract projection.
Hit yes. Me. All right.
Yes. Got him.
How do you spell Matthew?
You don't have your name. You don't have your name tag on, Matt?
Oh no! All right. So, Mike, here's the problem. Evolving Hockey isn't going to have this out until they get. Till they get through the whole season. So it's not here. You can't do it yet. All right. Sorry. Quick shout out to Evolving Hockey and screwing me over on that one. But I would guess that he's going to be in the first round, the four first round range when it's all said and done.
Woo-wee.
Like think about where EP40, where he was getting paid and where he ended up getting paid. And then Tkachuk is already getting paid $7 million. And he's going to be going up from there. So I that's my guess is that number's going up. Mike, we've been talking a half hour here. I'm going to say we can run through 2023, but just to recap 2022, we pretty much want to target Hurdle. We think that Malkin is probably like, would be a fun second line center it's not as fun when you're just like, let's pick up Malkin. But when you're like, hey, Verana, Malkin, Zadina. Like, woo! That's fun to say.
Yeah, that feels good.
And then, yeah, and then we want to go for Hampus Lindholm. And then RFAs. I think I kind of talked myself into saying that Matthew Tkachuk is my favorite guy on the list, but I still don't want to do it because it's not like we're locking in a for sure first line center with it.
Yeah, and I not only threw Pavel out there because arguably having the better, you know, marginally better season as a center as an upcoming restricted free agent. And if you could get his cap hit below 4.1 mil, you'd only be thrown a bag and a second round pick. So then you're kind of crossing your fingers that he pans out and he's only 25.
Well, we do have the 2023 at least typed up. So we'll do this as quickly as possible. Mike, I put your buddy on here for the 2023. I just want to tell you before we say anything, I'm a no. But did you want to give your opinion?
Let's see.
You know who it is. Do you have it pulled up?
He was born in a good birth year, I believe. Was he a 1987 baby? Oh, he's an 88 baby, just like you, Matt. Aww. We're talking, of course, about the man, the myth, the legend, Patrick Kane. He's still off to a pretty good start this year. You know, still doing a point a game. So I guess if you don't like points, you don't sign him. And Matt, not a fan of pucks going into nets.
Nope. Also, not a fan of any Chicago Blackhawk in that era that apparently just.
Yeah, it's kind of. I can't really defend that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I got nothing on that. I was just going to say he's got points. That's about the only defense. As a person, I don't think he fits the Iser plan at all.
Now, running down the list, there's a couple of centers I had my eye on that I thought would just be kind of fun and kind of, well, one of them more in like the Malkin conversation.
Are you talking about Bobo?
Well, no, I was going to say one more in the Malkin conversation and one more in the Hurdle conversation. And that's where I'd go Bo. Bo's the Hurdle. And then Ryan O'Reilly would be more in that Malkin conversation. I got to tell you, if I was, to be completely honest, if I was looking for more fun, I like Ryan O'Reilly, but I would, if I had to pick between the two, I'd rather have Malkin. But yeah, Bo Horvat, locking him in. I think that's doable, especially if Vancouver is about to decide whether or not they're going to go through another rebuild. I think Vancouver's going to drop Bo Horvat. And I don't know if it would be easy for me to look at it and say, let's not give this a shot. Now, we pull him up here. Mike, you could make the argument you're going to be overpaying for him. Because right now, out of all the players we've talked about, he's one of the lowest WAR percentages from JFresh. He's at 69%. But Mike, isn't 69 a really nice number to start with?
That's a good number. Bo, I like it. Can you do one thing before we brush away from the JFresh figure? Is that saying that he's in the bottom 10% percentile for power play contributions?
It certainly is.
Ooh.
So he's going to fit in. When we go back to, does he fit in with the Red Wing? No.
We're talking about guys we're throwing a bag at, and the Red Wings need power play. Like, we need special teams players. I don't think that Bo is quite quite wet in that Yzerman noodle as far as a guy who's going to, you know, jump right in and do that, because he hasn't done it yet. And I feel like he's played with some pretty good line mates, and he still hasn't quite done it. So it smells like it would be an overpay. But Matt, why would Ryan O'Reilly come here? Hit me.
He's got a cup. He likes money. I feel like right now Ryan O'Reilly fits what our character was, right? Like what the personality of the Red Wings was those first couple of weeks. I think he would fit in perfectly with that. But you can see, like, the numbers do take a little bit of a dip if you're looking at his 3-year span from an offensive standpoint. So, you know, it probably is exactly what we talk about when we say the statistical drop-off is on its way. So if you're talking to Ryan, you've got to start the conversation with what's with all these numbers dropping, exactly how every NHL player's statistics drop at this time. You really want me to overspend for you to put in 16 goals this year? No. So this is where I would really get into the numbers, really go nitty gritty with Ryan O'Reilly. And if he wants too much, he wants too much term, too much money. Absolutely not. But I do think there's an opportunity here to fit in a nice two-way forward.
Before you throw up the white flag, Matt, may I remind you, this is also a guy who gets a lot of Selkie votes and Lady Bing votes. And as a couple of diehard Pavel Datsyuk marks, this guy's right up our alley, Matt.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll let it go. Like I said, I want him, but, you know, it does look like the stats are actually dropping off right according to plan. All right, so then the last guy on here – I switched over to RFAs already on this list. Mikhail Sergachev and Filip. I was so nervous to say this name because we were practicing it before we started recording. But Filip Hedl, who I did pick up in the NHL game, which is probably where this was motivated from. So I made him work as my third line center. So I'm playing the exact game I said we shouldn't play. But I got him for a reasonable number, and I only gave up one draft pick. So that's where I kind of fell in love. But then, Mike, the... number one on this list, who absolutely will not be made available by the Colorado Avalanche, but Bowen Byram, who we just brought up a couple episodes ago, who's kicking butt with Cale Makar. So, of course, I would want to target Bowen Byram. Do I think we'll have a chance at him? No, not even a little bit.
Man, if you loved Cale's coattails, you're going to love Mo Sider's coattails. Come on down!
Yeah, it's just one of those things that what's so funny, I think a year ago we were making the argument that we wouldn't trade Anthony Mantha for Bowen Byram straight up, but I don't know. After seeing Byram so far, might consider it. Just there were so many unknowns involved with that, and I don't really hate how everything turned out with Verana and Kosa and Edvinson so far, and I don't know. Why am I having that? That nobody cares. That's not the conversation we're having. All right.
This is a debate you're having with yourself. So yeah. I guess if we're going to bottom line this for 2022, 2023, again, free agency is it's a tough game. But I got to say, Matt, Tomas Hertl, that's our boy from the Sharks. I think that's the one I would definitely circle out of the 2 years.
All right. I'm gonna say,
are you going with your boy from the Ducks?
Yeah, I think Lindholm is number one on my list. But I think if I had to pick one that was more likely to happen, I'd go with the Hertl Turtle.
I would like Hertl the Turtle, but if we end up getting crap, let me get his damn. If we got Lindholm, do you think they would make Malkin want to play here?
That's a whole nother conversation, right? Like you pick up one of those big free agents, everything starts to come together, and then you're also talking about like Edmondson coming over and did another year for Berggren. Is he ready to step in next year? And is that your second or third line ready to go? That doesn't make sense. Then what are you picking up? Anyway, that's a great point. And I think it would come back to how much money you have left for Malkin and how many years he wants. Is he looking for way too much? And he's just going to retire on you? Absolutely not. But if he's looking to be reasonable, that's how nobody wants to hear this, Mike, but that's how I play the video game. I give these guys astronomical 1 year deals that they would never get paid in the NHL, but they signed with me and then I got my prospects coming up the next year. So I go, I have these seasons, Mike, where I go like right up to the cap line and then the next year all the prospects come up. So I have like $30 million in cap space by the time the season starts. But it's because you got to plan these things out. So Malkin short term, absolutely. Yeah,
you're just like on that one. Yeah.
I want to tell him. He won't listen. He won't take my calls. Clearly, if you listen to this episode, you're probably asking why he doesn't take our calls. But everybody, thank you for tuning in. I had fun with this.
Keep an eye out for that Hertl, boys. And
exactly.
Girls.
And again,
I don't know why I just turned into Adam Cole, but it's story time with Hertl the Turtle. I can't wait.
Yeah, LFG. Trying to not swear too much. I think we still swear a little bit. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. And as we've mentioned a bunch of times, we'll be back soon. I don't know what the date would be. So I'm going to end this.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. December 8th. That'll be December 8th. We'll be back. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a good one.